You're listening to the Superhuman Channel. We're ripped and we're ready. The following paid program does not necessarily reflect the views or opinions of the staff and management of Tri-Scepter Productions or the Superhuman Channel. Tri-Scepter Productions and the Superhuman Channel are not responsible for any claims, warranties, or guarantees made during this program.
Prepare to experience the strongest radio allowable by law. Secrets will be revealed. Myths dispelled.
From the studio gym where excuses never apply.
It's Superhuman Radio with your host, Carl Lenore.
Hey, welcome back to another episode of Superhuman Radio. We have a great show planned today. We're going to be talking about depression as a disease of modernity with Brandon Hidaka. Before we get started on that, I want to make a couple of announcements. Tonight is the last opportunity to enter to win four boxes of Quest protein bars. If you like the Superhuman Radio fan page, which is facebook.com/Superhuman Radio Network, you are entered to win four boxes of Quest protein bars. The winner will be announced tomorrow on Casual Friday. Also, don't forget to join our mail list. We send a newsletter out twice a week on Tuesday and Thursday with breaking research, breaking stories, and we give you a different spin of things than you will find in the mainstream media. We're going to talk about this tomorrow. One of the stories that's in today's newsletter is also in the tabloids and newspapers, and the spin that the news gives it, the mainstream media gives it, is quite different than the spin that is the truth. So go to superhumanradio.com down at the very, very bottom of the page and look for the join our mailing list box there. So, okay. Disease of modernity. Is depression one of them? We know that there are lots of them. Myopia, for instance, asthma, and so on and so forth. My next guest, Brandon Hidaka. How you doing, Brandon?
I'm doing well. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, my pleasure. Is going to discuss this. So first of all, this research that you did, was this a meta-analysis?
This was it was a review. It was not a systematic review in that way.
Okay. But it was a review of all the available research that made sense to include in this discussion, right?
Right.
Okay. All right, so are we actually seeing a higher rate of depression today, or are we just tracking it now where we didn't really pay attention to it a few hundred years ago?
Well, you know, that's a really complicated question, but based on what I found, it does seem to be more common now, and the way we know this is by looking at the studies that measure the prevalence of depression over time in a given population. So a study in Sweden over 25 years, found that depression rates had doubled from 1991 to 2002 in American adults. It seemed to have doubled in prevalence in another study, and that's probably the most. And the way they measure that is they go door to door, community sampling, and ask people about the symptoms that diagnose someone with depression.
Now, because these are very subjective, you know, you can ask a person how they feel and so on. It's not really a litmus test. Is it possible that this is simply the result of inappropriate expectations about what life has in store for us that cause people to be depressed?
Well, you know, that is. There were reports in the 70s of psychiatrists noting that people were coming to them for help for depression that they hadn't seen before. They were younger people. They were more emotionally unstable and neurotic and had milder forms of depression. So it seemed like that was kind of the beginning of the hints that people were beginning to see discomfort in daily living more as a medicatable disease.
Yeah, and that's the sad part right there. Because there are legitimate reasons to be depressed. We've talked about this on the show over the years, you know, and I've always used the analogy, you know, if you lose your job, you lose your spouse, you have a tragic situation occur in your life, you should be depressed. That's a normal response. It's the same response that if you were in a movie theater watching a hilariously funny movie and belly laughing, someone wouldn't come up to you and say, you know, you're really laughing way too hard. I think you need to be medicated. You know, it's like,
yeah.
So we do tend to look at depression as a treatable disease when it's just an emotional response to something quite often, right?
Yeah, and we, you know, the field of psychiatry was moved to just this contextless diagnosis of a bunch of symptoms.
Yeah.
Because they needed more reliability so that everyone was on the same page about the effectiveness of the drugs that they were testing. And what we lost was validity, that no longer was the context of, is this an appropriate reaction to crappy circumstance? And now, if someone comes in feeling bad, I'm concerned that the doctor says this is a neurochemical imbalance, when in fact it might be this is a societal problem for you being in a trapped situation, and we're going to give you a medicine to help you put up with it.
Yeah. And then unfortunately, you're on that medication for quite a long time. We've talked about just recently about antidepressants, that they really don't work quite often. And if anything, they may actually contribute to not necessarily depression, but a lack of feeling anything, happy, sad, indifferent, and whatever. And more importantly, trying to get off of them causes its own host of problems. So these are very, very people should use these drugs with caution. So let's talk about this for a second. We are always looking at things through the evolutionary glasses here on the show. And we know that we are completely mismatched for our environment today, our diet, and everything that we do. Is it possible that this is simply the result of humans living in a life that we were never designed to live in, and so we are appropriately not happy, just the same way that the animal that's living in captivity isn't happy?
You know, that is the crux of the hypothesis of my paper, and that is that the way our diet has changed to be pro-inflammatory, the way we don't move our bodies and use a major organ, our skeletal muscle, like we're supposed to, how our sleep patterns are totally deranged and our light exposure patterns are causing circadian dysfunction, and the social cohesion and equality that so characterizes more traditional living patterns has really lost, and people, the distance between the haves and the have-nots is increasing, and people are more socially isolated in spite of technological advances.
You know, it's interesting. I'm reading Daniel Lieberman's book, The History of the Human Body, and he lists a very, very short list of diseases of modernity in there. And when you read these diseases, you think to yourself, oh, my God. So these weren't even around when Homo erectus was walking the planet. It's like these are all diseases that occurred as a result of our culture, I think it could be said. The thing that makes us unique from every species out there is that really, aside from some anatomical changes like being bipeds and actually perspiring, which gave us great evolutionary advantages, we are the only species that applies cooperation. Without, you know, other animals don't necessarily share food. They'll share food with their young, but they won't share food across their community. We are very cooperative animals. We want to cooperate. And quite often that sense of desire to cooperate has actually been what has led us down this path where we are today, in my opinion. You know, when we look at doctors telling us we should do this and this, you know, people can't even think on their own anymore without reading a book. We can't raise children, have successful relationships or anything without reading a book. And we want to abide by those suggestions because we want to cooperate. And, it's really sad. It really, really is sad. I actually have done shows where we've thought about the fact that our instincts have been bred out of us. Instinctiveness is gone today. People have no instincts, and even if they do, they don't trust them because they'd rather trust Dr. Phil.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I would I do know, like, ants, for instance, cooperate, but that's because they're all related. But I do think that the way that the structure of our society works is not necessarily for our well-being or the well-being of everyone, but it's really just to maximize consumption.
Yeah.
And if you have a disorder, you can consume that. And actually, as we, you know, live alone and we move away from family, we can't cooperate as much as we used to, and we have to consume more to make up for those deficits that would be filled by helping those around us.
Interesting. Interesting. Hey, we're going to take a quick commercial break. When we come back, I want to get deeper into your research so we can find out what you learned from this. We're talking right now with Brandon Hidaka. We're talking about depression as a disease of modernity, explanations for increasing prevalence. You're listening to Superhuman Radio. We'll be right back.
The government doesn't always have your health in its best interest. Luckily, we have Carl Lenore on Superhuman Radio. We'll be right back.
Do you avoid protein powder because it upsets your stomach? Want a protein powder with zero fat and lactose free? Look no further. Muscle Gauge Nutrition's Pure Whey Isolate delivers 25 grams of pure whey without any of the fat or lactose. And for a limited time, you can get a 25-pound bag of Pure Whey Isolate for only $187. That's Whey Isolate for $7 a pound. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Muscle Gauge Nutrition banner ad and use coupon code SUPERHUMAN today.
Research on how colostrum improves athletic performance, muscle growth, health, and vitality is undeniable. But finding a reliable source of colostrum is difficult. Now the Superhuman Nation has Immunodynamics. For over 30 years, Immunodynamics has been regarded as both the standard and the source for consistently providing only first 6-hour colostrum, painstakingly processed by continually refined methods to provide the highest biological activity in the world. For a limited time, when you buy Percoba Extra Edge Colostrum Powder, you'll get a bottle of colostrum lozenges and a Fit and Fresh portable drink mixer free. Use coupon code SHR at checkout. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Immunodynamics banner ad today.
It's new, it's cutting edge, and it's custom made to get you to Gainesville. The Blueprint Meteoric is here. Meteoric is the final frontier for drug-free athletes. Includes brand new breakthrough information about triphasic energy system training and macronutrient cycling. Specifically designed to transform your physique and record time. For a limited time, get the Blueprint Meteoric for free, along with the legendary add 1 inch to your upper arms in a single workout when you subscribe to the Blueprint Bulletin. Go to superhumanradio.com today and click the Blueprint banner ad.
I usually avoid protein bars because they're generally just candy in disguise. But that's all changed now. With Quest protein bars, we can enjoy dessert again without the guilt. With 20 grams of whey isolate protein, tons of prebiotic fiber, no sugar added, and only 2 to 6 grams of active carbohydrates per bar, Quest bars will keep you full and lean. I've never endorsed a protein bar before because I simply didn't trust them. That's all changed with the Quest bar. Not just because of what's in them, but more so for what's not. Go to superhumanradio.com today and click the Quest Protein Bar banner ad. Start enjoying dessert again.
Toothpaste is loaded with toxic chemicals. That's why I use Aura MD. Aura MD is a natural dental care product that is made from botanical oils that promotes healthy oral microbiome while destroying dangerous bacteria that lead to gum disease. It does not contain fluoride, detergent, surfactants, or any other chemicals. Best of all, it leaves your breath smelling so good, people will comment about it. Right now, you can get a buy one, get one free of Aura MD by going to superhumanradio.com and clicking the Aura MD banner ad. I won't ever use anything else but Aura MD, and neither should you.
There are a few products that I believe in the way I believe in CanSee eye drops. I've been using CanSee for 6 months now, and the changes in my vision are nothing short of amazing. My near vision has improved, and I can read small print from 8 inches. My overall vision is clearer, and the glare from oncoming headlights doesn't bother me any longer. Just 1 to 2 drops a day, and the results are visible. You can find CanSee eye drops at wisechoicemedicine.net or call 800-861-4936. That's 800-861-4936. Wise Choice Medicine. Medicine.net. CanSee eye drops. The name says it all.
Get stronger. Feel younger. It's Superhuman Radio.
Welcome back. We're talking with Brandon Hidaka. We're talking about depression as a disease of modernity. So let's talk about some of the environmental factors or factors in general that may be playing a role. The first two you have in your research, obesity and diet, kind of go hand in hand because obviously obesity is a disease of modernity. Talk about those two. Do they play a role? And if so, how?
Well, there have been a lot of studies that looked at the relationship between obesity and depression, and a meta-analysis of that relationship found that not only were obese people more likely to become depressed later compared to normal weight individuals, but depressed people of normal weight were more likely to become obese later compared to depressed people with normal weight. I mean, non-depressed people with normal weight.
Right.
So there seems to be kind of reciprocal relationship in time between those two. And then as for diet, there actually is a lot of research coming out on dietary patterns and certain types of foods. Like, for instance, some research in Spain looked at almost 9,000 college students and followed them for incidence of depression and found that those that consumed more fast food and more commercial baked goods were more likely to report depression in the future.
And that obviously could be linked back to inflammation. When I went to the Ancestral Health Symposium 2013, we actually had a guest on the show that I met there who talked about the potential linkage in some people between the onset of depression and chronic inflammation, even low-grade chronic inflammation. We always think about depression as being something that alters our perspective and feelings on life. But depression is also a way that the mind slows the body down if it thinks it needs to heal from something. Depression can be manifest itself biomechanically as well, where you just don't have energy, the strength or anything. And so we think that this is really an inconvenience because we want to go to work. But in reality, it's more like the canary in the mine. The body is slowing down because it thinks it's sick.
Right. For a long time, one way to study depression in mice, for instance, is to give them some type of bacteria or give them a pro-inflammatory molecule, and you induce sickness behavior, which is having them be really tired and sequester themselves away from other individuals and sleep for long periods of time, all symptoms of depression. And they know, and a lot of research has shown that people with higher levels of circulating C-reactive protein or interleukin 1 or 6 are more prone to have depression or less resilient to stresses in life.
You know, and I don't want to gloss over something. So, you know, we know fast foods are bad for us, right? They use a lot of soybean oil, which is very, very high in omega-6, so much so that Monsanto is working feverishly to come out with a high omega-3 soybean oil that's also stable. Because what people need to understand, the reason that trans fats were introduced, hydrogenated oils were introduced, because there's actually naturally occurring trans fats in dairy that aren't bad for you. But the reason that hydrogenated oils were introduced was because in order to make edible oils more stable and last longer, they had to remove the omega-3s from them. So they actually, because omega-3s get rancid faster. So now Monsanto, whatever you want to call them, is working feverishly to come out with a higher omega-3 soybean, so they can produce a stable soybean oil. But in the meantime, we know that fast foods are high in these kind of pro-inflammatory fats. But one of the things I don't want to gloss over is baked goods. And the quintessential ingredient in baked goods are grains. And we've talked about on the show ad infinitum about the pro-inflammatory effects of the anti-nutrients and lectins in grains, and especially high gluten grains. And so everybody's focused on gluten right now, but there are other anti-nutrients in grains. So those out there who adhere to a more vegetarian diet because the media is pushing meatless Mondays right now, make sure that if you're going to do that, you're eating a lot of vegetables, not a lot of fruit, and absolutely very little grains. Don't think that just because you're not eating animal protein that you're somehow being healthier. And I just want to make sure that we get that point. You know, when we talk about baked goods, we're talking about grains here. Would you want to chime in on that at all, Brandon?
I'm not too keen on the whole gluten thing, but I do know that I feel more tired the next day when I eat baked goods, so I do avoid them. I do also want to say that when I went into the grocery store looking for where are all these omega-6 fats coming from, and they're in all of the baked goods. There, you see all types of, you know, soy, corn, canola oil, or some blend. I don't know how they get away with labeling just a random blend of all these vegetable oils is okay to put in the food that you're going to put in your mouth. So baked goods are a rich source of omega-6 fatty acids. You know, the cookies you find in the store, the crackers, they're dangerous.
Yeah. Okay, so let's talk about physical activity or the lack thereof in today's society. A recent research paper that was published a couple of weeks ago indicated that severely obese women experience 1 hour a year of physical activity. And so we know that we are completely mismatched for the lack of activity today. What role does that play? Obviously, it plays a role in obesity. Does it also play an intrinsic role in depression?
So this is how I actually got into this research. My mentor, Stephen Ilardi at the University of Kansas, he had this therapeutic lifestyle change intervention, and I was in charge of getting a couple of middle-aged, suburban, depressed women to exercise regularly. And it was the reason they were doing this because some scientists at Duke had done a study that compared people, what happens to people with depression if you give them placebo or sertraline or Zoloft, or have them exercise 3 times a week, aerobic exercise for 30 minutes for 16 weeks. And they found that the sertraline group and the aerobic exercise group both had a decreased prevalence of depression. And so it was just as effective as your standard antidepressant. But then they followed these people later, and 4 months later, those in the exercise arm were much more likely to not have relapsed.
That's a big deal right there.
Mm-hmm. And you know, there is concern about the long-term effects of antidepressant use and how they might affect vulnerability to depression, based on the whole notion if you flood your synapses with serotonin, you might downregulate your serotonin receptors. And a scientist with the last name Fava has done a lot of research on something he calls tardive dysphoria, which is an increased likelihood of depression after antidepressant use.
Well, there's some other issues about antidepressants, too, that don't really get a lot of discussion, and that is that increased serotonin production affects the entire organism, not just the brain. And so, for instance, women who are on antidepressants for any length of time typically lose control of the diaphragm and floor in their abdomen that controls bladder function. And you see this because they become distended below the navel. There's also some research out there that we talked about a couple years ago that is now implicating serotonin reuptake inhibitors with potential damage to certain valves in the heart. Because of the increased circulation of serotonin. We're finding out that that selective word and selective serotonin reuptake inhibitors may not be as selective as we once thought, that it may be occurring in other tissue as well. So that hasn't even come to the forefront at this point in time. I would steer clear of an antidepressant unless I was really, like, I needed to be rescued from a situation. That was the only way to rescue me. So physical activity clearly can help mitigate depression. And this is probably what doctors should be telling patients to do when they're depressed. But it's hard to get somebody who's depressed to start moving. How did you motivate the people in this group to actually start exercising? I would imagine that they didn't want to.
Fortunately, some people, they're participating in this lifestyle change because they are willing to do anything to feel better. And when it starts to work, other people see the hope, and they say, I want to feel good too. You know, it sounds like you are really, you know, walking more often than just our 3 times a week. I want to start doing that too. And so they kind of, one great thing about this program is that it was group-based, so there was a lot of talk about how they overcome barriers, and there was a lot of support, and a lot of them actually became friends after the program ended.
Wow, and that adds another issue right there that we'll talk about a little bit later, and that's the social environment, obviously, and the interaction with other people. I want to go ahead and take our break now, about a minute early, because when I come back, I want to talk to you about light and sleep, because this has been another constant mission on this show to get people to understand the real value of sleep. You're listening to Superhuman Radio. We're talking about depression as a disease of modernity. We're talking with Brandon Hidaka. Brandon is with the Department of Dietetics and Nutrition at the University of Kansas Medical Center. We'll be right back.
Previously on Superhuman Radio.
Don't forget that companies like Monsanto have gone to countries where the agricultural industry is suffering and said if you grow GM crops, your farmers will have an easier time growing and it will be cheaper for them to grow and they will do better with it. And that has not happened.
He's pointing out Monsanto's lies one at a time.
Not to mention you have to pay for your seeds every single year. You can't collect your own seeds and regrow. And those seeds are expensive. Roundup is expensive, the pesticides are expensive, and you use more and more and more. And now, to add insult to injury, you don't even end up with more bushels per acre after all of your misery.
Carl Lenore on Superhuman Radio, weekdays at noon.
Thousands of Superhuman Radio listeners already know how well GLC 2000 works at repairing joints and cartilage, and it's the best price on the market, milligram for milligram. Now GLC Direct is offering a special that my listeners can take advantage of. Buy one, get one free of any GLC 2000 product. That's right, buy one of your favorite GLC 2000 products and get one free. Capsules or raw powder. Just mention Superhuman Radio and buy one, get one free today. Call 866-452-3473 or click the GLC banner ad on superhumanradio.com. Offer limited to one per household.
Power Block dumbbells can replace up to 55 pairs of dumbbells in the space of just one pair, and they come in all sizes to meet the needs of all lifters, as small as 2.5 to 20 pounds per hand, all the way up to 175 pounds per hand, and everything in between. Check out the new Power Block barbells that turn your Power Block dumbbells into barbells in seconds, replacing up to 45 barbells. Or try the new kettlebell handle to convert Power Block dumbbells to kettlebells. Call 800-651-1937 or click the banner ad on superhumanradio.com for a free brochure.
Only one testosterone booster, Mahler's Aggressive Strength, raises testicular cholesterol levels while increasing gonadotropin releasing hormone. That in turn turbocharges how much testosterone you can make. In a clinical trial, this resulted in a 347% increase in testosterone, and it won't bottom out your estrogen levels either, so your libido will be in high gear. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Aggressive Strength banner ad. Use coupon code SHR and get 10% off today.
Taking vitamin D without taking the MK7 form of K2 can lead to unwanted tissue calcification. A growing body of evidence shows cardiovascular and bone benefits from taking vitamin D and K2 together. Getting MK7 from the diet is virtually impossible. Doctor-formulated Leaner Living's K2 plus D3 product is free of soybean oil and GMOs, blended into a potent olive oil base that is the dynamic duo of fat-soluble vitamins. Save 10% off when you use the coupon code SHR. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Leaner Living banner ad today.
The best fat loss patch just got better. Now, the Age Force Fat Burner Patch includes Garcinia Cambogia. Lose body fat even faster. Try it free for 30 days. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Age Force Fat Burner banner ad today. What else do you have to lose except unwanted body fat? Performance counts, especially in the bedroom. Age Force introduces the Ready Now Sexual Performance Patch. Feel 8 hours of increased performance within minutes of putting on the Ready Now Patch. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Ready Now banner ad and save 50% off your first order.
The health and performance benefits of phytonutrients are indisputable, but getting all of your phytonutrients from your diet is difficult. That's why Prime Nutrition introduced PhytoForm. PhytoForm has nearly 11 grams of all the micronized veggies, fruits, fiber, minerals, and antioxidants you need. Alfalfa, organic spirulina, and chlorella, plus acai, pomegranate, goji, bilberry, blueberry, raspberry, cranberry, and papaya. Cabbage, spinach, broccoli, beet, the list goes on and on. You won't find a better, more complete fruits and greens blend anywhere. It even includes PQQ, which has been shown to improve mitochondrial biogenesis. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Prime Nutrition banner ad today and use coupon code SHR to save 30% off. Prime Nutrition, the best or nothing.
Jumping higher, lifting more. It's Superhuman Radio.
Welcome back. At the end of the show, we're going to give you a bunch of coupon codes. We've gotten emails from people saying, hey, what's the coupon code for this? What's the coupon code for that? And we'll continue to make sure that these are in all of the newsletters that go out from this point forward. So you'll want to stay tuned for that. Right now, we're talking with Brandon Hidaka. We're talking about depression. This is one of my biggest pet peeves today, and that is sleep or the lack thereof. People think that sleep is optional. We have those in our world today that we look up to claiming to sleep 3 or 4 hours a day. Mantras like people don't make money while they're sleeping permeate the business community, and we're really just killing ourselves. There are so many diseases linked to the lack of sleep. Is depression yet another one, Brandon?
Yeah. Prospective studies have found that people who have problems sleeping, people who have insomnia, have about double the risk of developing depression later in life. And people with depression, actually one of the cardinal symptoms of depression is having trouble sleeping or sleeping too much. And so people who have insomnia and depression, if you totally target sleep hygiene, good sleep hygiene practices, and really help them sleep better, their depression tends to go away as well.
And I can attest this. In 2005, my audience knows that I went through a period of time where I couldn't sleep. I had some real hormonal issues, and as a result, I would fall asleep for about an hour, and then I would wake up, and I could not get back to sleep, and I would roam the house, and I felt like a ghost. Everyone else was sleeping, and I was up at night, and I didn't want to be up at night. And it was very depressing, and it caused a great deal of anxiety for me, because getting ready to go to bed every night filled me with anxiety, because I knew what was going to happen. It was like, oh, man, I'm going to fall asleep. I'm going to wake up. I'm going to be miserable. I'm going to feel like crap the next day. And that is really a very, very depressing way to live.
Yeah, and I've had friends who, you know, really struggle with getting to sleep and staying to sleep, and they're awake in the middle of the night, and they think this is so unfair that everyone else is just quiet and resting their body, and then, you know, the next day you're just dragging. And I think of sleep as like a way to exchange quantity for quality, that you may not be awake as much, but your waking hours are so much more quality filled.
And we've done shows to prove that, because we want, this has been a long time mission of mine to get people to protect their sleep and to look at sleep as what it is, the opportunity for the body to repair itself and for you to heal. And you know, when you look at centenarians, one of the questions that's always missed when they talk to them about what their diet is the fact that they generally have gone to sleep at the same time and get up at the same time every single day of their 100 years of life. There is so much to be said about this, and this is a disease of modernity, because back in the day, when all we had was fire and candle power, and even when oils were introduced for lamps and so on, this orange glow of light was not intense enough and did not have enough of the blue spectrum of light to impede the onset of melatonin and cause people to want to go to sleep. And combined with the fact that you didn't want to go out at night in the dark because you could be preyed upon by animals, so you went in your cabin and you laid there until you went to sleep, and you slept until it got, until daylight hit and you woke. And this was this circadian rhythm is what we are programmed for. Then you fast forward to today, where people actually lay down in bed way too late to begin with their iPads on their chest or Kindles reading a book. That light that is going into your eye is telling your brain, hey, it's not nighttime. Don't go to sleep.
Yeah, there are, I mean, our eyes have receptors sensitive to the blue spectrum that are directly connected to our hypothalamus, which controls our hormones and the daily rhythms. And it's disruptive to the natural fluctuations to be exposed to bright blue light late at night.
So when you looked at the research on the prevalence of sleep and its influence on depression, was there any research out there that implicated the use of computers or televisions and so on late at night before bed, and that influence on the impaired sleep hygiene?
No, I really didn't find that. I did. There is solid evidence that people who work at night, you know, the shift workers, have really bad circadian function and are at increased risk for type 2 diabetes, which has a strong association with depression.
Yeah, and cancers, a variety of different cancers. Mm-hmm. There's a lot going on there. And isn't it interesting that sleep influences obesity? And so we see this cycle here, right? Before you said that people who are depressed tend to have the higher potential to become obese, and people who are obese seem to be depressed. People who don't get sleep become insulin resistant, and they tend to become obese and depressed. So what we see here, at least to my neophyte viewpoint, is anytime that you are disrupting the natural tendencies of the body's desire to sleep and to move and to eat the foods that it thrives on, it becomes depressed, like a child who doesn't get what it really wants.
Right. I mean, I would just sum it up simply that sleeping is really an important part of having a healthy body. And if you don't have a healthy body, you're not going to have a healthy brain. And without a healthy brain, you're probably not going to be as successful in your endeavors, and you're probably not going to feel as good throughout the day.
My son was preparing for finals the other day, and I told him, I said, do not stay up late studying. We did that show where it showed that college students who stayed up late to study did not perform as well the next day on the test, even though they felt like they spent more time preparing for it, as the students who went to sleep at a reasonable time and got 8 hours of sleep. Their brain information was more accessible because of their well-rested situation.
Right. In medical school, I saw my friends banging their head against the wall, trying to spend more time memorizing, you know, minutia, rather than taking care of their brains. I took the mindset that, you know, my job as a medical student is to learn, and part of that job is to have a good learning tool, and taking care of that means exercising and eating the right things and getting enough sleep. So I thought of my sleep and exercise as part of my learning regimen, and I felt like that really helped me succeed.
That's really a great way to look at it, and schools should promote that. I know they probably won't anytime in the near future, but they should, just like they try to promote good study habits and study skills and good note-taking habits and note-taking skills. Interestingly enough, physicians are probably at the greatest risk, maybe next to UPS pilots, I would imagine, of having to perform their jobs while completely sleep-deprived. I remember the earliest study that I read that indicated this was probably in 2005, and that study looked at thyroid-stimulating hormone in interns who had to pull, you know, what do you call it, like an all-nighter, a double shift, you know, work 24 hours continuously. And after that one night of interrupted sleep, their TSH levels bottomed out completely, obviously indicating that thyroid function was going to be impaired. And let's face it, if your thyroid's not functioning, your brain's not functioning, your body's not functioning, and so on. And I remember thinking then, these individuals are then tasked with, in some cases, for like an ER doctor who probably works very, very long shifts like that in the middle of the night, they're tasked with saving other people's lives. Is it any wonder why mistakes occur in hospitals?
Yeah, and, you know, that's a really complicated issue for, I mean, they're just, there's such a demand for medical services.
Right.
There's a lot of sick people, and there's not enough doctors. And you also have the issue of the people in charge, the current doctors in administrative positions, suffered through that. And they feel like they got through it fine, and it was hard, but it's just a rite of passage.
Yes.
And we're just going to keep it the way it is. But there have been some efforts on the part of students to get caps on the number of hours they can work in their residency programs, which I think have resulted in the benefit for less medical errors.
Yeah, and that should be the case, because I understand that, especially in the case of an ER doctor, right, people don't get hurt at a convenient time of day. Or let's take another doctor. I had a good friend that was a very, very successful OBGYN. He never got a good night's sleep because women always went into labor at nighttime, and he was always
on full moons.
Yeah, exactly. And so, you know, I understand that this is the case, and that's why I think that the administrators who foolishly feel like, well, I did it, so you should do it. That's a silly thing. Back in the day, I'm sure that there's lots of things that we did 100 years ago that we shouldn't do any longer, and we know we don't do them any longer, and we don't say, well, they did it back then, so we should be able to tough through it as well. So a shame on the administrators for saying that. The reality is that because doctors are on demand at all types of hours, they should purposely help them have better opportunities to catch some rest. Mm-hmm. I mean, that really should be a mandate. And, you know, pilots are another group that suffers through this. And UPS is suffering for it right now because those two pilots that dropped that plane out of the sky right before they went down, they were both complaining about how exhausted they were because of the number of legs they had to fly with very, very little sleep. And, you know, I feel terrible for their families, and I feel sorry for them. At the same time, the fact that they captured that bit of information is now making UPS realize, well, you know what? And then, and ironically, UPS isn't doing it because they want to be benevolent. They're doing it because they don't want to get sued, which is really sad. They should be doing it because of the quality of life of their pilots, but instead they don't want to be held culpable for causing deaths because they're driving these poor pilots into the ground, literally. So, you know, sleep is so important. So, and the more critical that your job and the decisions you make, the more critical it is that you get good sleep. We're going to take our last commercial break, and we'll be right back with more on depression with Brandon Hidaka. You're listening to Superhuman Radio. We'll be right back.
There's something comforting about knowing he's out there.
Government is in place because it assumes that people are too stupid to care for themselves.
By your side.
Government has to take up the parental role of teaching people what to do.
Fighting the good fight.
Government has to get out of people's pantries, first of all. They can't legislate health.
He's Carl Lenore on Superhuman Radio.
What happens when you take UltraDrawl and reduce it to near molecular size? You get skin stretching, muscle gains ridiculously fast. You get NanoDrawl, only from Predator Nutrition. NanoDrawl is a stronger muscle builder than even methylstenbolone. NanoDrawl's nanoparticle size gets faster entry to the bloodstream and muscle cells. Batch tested for potency. You can save 10% off by using the coupon code NANRL1. Click the NanoDrawl banner ad on superhumanradio.com today. Get ready to outgrow your wardrobe. Get NanoDrawl.
Never before has an anti-estrogen been so powerful. The triazole formula is built on a potent, all-natural aromatase inhibitor called Pizole, which has been shown in clinical trial to be as effective as a leading prescription aromatase inhibitor. Pizole works in concert with the rest of the triazole formula to control estrogen while simultaneously boosting testosterone significantly. In fact, one of triazole's testers had a 120% increase in total testosterone and a 257% increase in free testosterone. Triazole is available at bodybuilding.com, NutriPlanet.com, or where finer supplements are sold. For more information, check out GetDS.com.
In a world of advanced bodybuilding supplementation, the numbers don't lie. Fact, Iron Mag Labs is among the fastest growing hardcore supplement companies in the world. Fact, when it comes to no-nonsense, cutting-edge products, nobody delivers results like Iron Mag Labs. Fact, the Iron Mag Labs line of innovative formulation has set a new industry standard with products that are helping world-class bodybuilders reach levels they never thought possible. Iron Mag Labs is a proud supporter of bodybuilders everywhere. Discover the most hardcore bodybuilding supplements on the market. Visit IronMagLabs.com today. At Superior Hardcore Peptides, we pride ourselves on accurately dosed, high-quality peptides and research chemicals made in the USA. With all the options out there, we dedicated ourselves to providing the best service and the best products for your research. Click the banner ad on superhumanradio.com today and use the discount code SHR and get 20% off our already competitive prices. If you're going to do research, do it with the best Superior Hardcore Peptides.
Orbit Nutrition carries over 1,000 of the hottest nutritional supplements, performance enhancers, and nutraceuticals on the planet. And now, Superhuman Radio listeners get an additional 5% off their everyday low prices by using the coupon code SHR5. That's SHR and the number 5. Choose from products like Quest Protein Bars, iForce Nutrition, Iron Mag Labs, and more. Check out Orbit's daily deals for special insane blowout prices. Log on to the Orbit Nutrition Forum and get feedback about the product you're shopping for, and get an additional 5% off using the coupon code SHR5. Orbit Nutrition. Fast, reliable, competitive, international. Why shop anywhere else?
The 1-2 punch for muscle growth is increased pump and increased intensity. Research shows metabolic changes occur that yield bigger, stronger muscles. Harness the power of agmatine plus carnosine beta-alanine to give your workout the intensity, pump, and metabolic changes that you'll not only feel but be able to see. Go to superhumanradio.com and use the coupon code SHR to get Prime Nutrition's Ultimate Stack and save 30% off. That's a savings of over $12. Get the most out of your next training session with Prime Nutrition's Nitric Oxide Plus Intensity Stack. Prime Nutrition, the best or nothing.
Get stronger. Feel younger. It's Superhuman Radio.
Welcome back to Superhuman Radio. We're talking with Brandon Hidaka. We're talking about depression as a disease of modernity. So, two last questions, Brandon. First of all, we've talked about sleep. What about sunlight and vitamin D? Any indications that it plays any kind of role at all in depression?
Yeah, well, we've known for a long time that one type of depression called seasonal affective disorder is related to winter. And so people thought that maybe it was related to light. So they have used light therapy, bright light boxes, and that is found not only to be effective for seasonal affective disorder, but as a treatment for people with major depressive disorder as well. And as for vitamin D, it has been found that people with depression tend to have lower levels of vitamin D compared to those who don't. And the jury's still out on whether or not vitamin D supplementation is a type of treatment or adjuvant treatment for depression.
Okay, so there's really nothing that we can say about that at this moment in time. Mm-hmm. And then lastly, so what do you think? Is depression on the rise? Are we just tracking it differently so it looks like it's more common now? Do we have an epidemic of depression out there, you think?
I do believe that is the case. Especially the way it's currently defined, people have more depressive symptoms. I don't necessarily think they have broken brains, but I think that they definitely have more symptoms of hopelessness and sadness and fatigue for a lot of the lifestyle reasons we've been discussing.
You know what? I just realized I skipped the question. I'm going to throw it in now. What about socialization? I mean, as you indicated, we're more connected now, but we're more isolated now. I know that we've talked about Facebook and these types of mechanisms affecting the way people feel and the way people view interaction with other human beings. Is that playing a role in depression?
Well, we know that people with a strong circle of social support are much less likely to become depressed. You can have people who are depressed have therapy that is just focused on strengthening their relationships, which is effective. I want to talk about one study that showed that we are actually more lonely now. And so in 1985...
Wait, we're more lonely now, you said.
Yeah, okay. So in 1985, the General Social Survey found that the mean and mode for the number of close people that they can discuss important issues with was 3 and 3. And then in 2004, the mean had dropped from 3 to 2, and the mode had gone from 3 to 0, which means that the most common thing was for American adults to have no one to talk to about important stuff.
Right. And you want to know what a sign of this is? So there is now a franchise called The Couch. Have you heard of this, Brandon?
No, I haven't.
Okay. So the other day, Elisa and I were driving, and Elisa saw this business, and it said The Couch. And she thought it was a furniture store. No, it's a walk-in, first-come, first-serve talk therapy storefront with their actual rates on the window, the way you would see the rates for a fast food restaurant where you can walk in, lay down on the couch, tell your story to somebody, and they'll give you their opinion, and then you walk out.
Paying someone to listen to you.
Yes. I mean, if that isn't, because look, what we know about diseases of modernity is that the reason that no one looks at the causes of them so that we can eliminate them is because as a society, we like to profit from these things that aren't necessarily going to kill us, but we can keep it around so that we can make money off of it. So no one out there is saying, hey, you know, work less, build more friendships, blah, blah, blah. No, they're saying, hey, we have an opportunity to build a new business. People need someone to talk to. They're willing to go in and pay. They don't want to go and set up an appointment with a psychotherapist because of the stigma. They don't want to ask a friend who they go to for their counseling. They don't want to go through all that. They just want to walk into a place that's fun and funky. It's called the couch. It's kind of cool. It's like a coffee shop without the coffee. And sit there and talk to somebody and pay them by the hour.
Yeah. There's Robert Putnam, who's at Harvard. He wrote a book called Bowling Alone, and his argument was that a lot of the disintegration of society is exemplified by lack of joining things like bowling leagues, where bowling league membership is down, but bowling alley use remains stable, which he thinks indicates that people are just bowling alone rather than getting together. And you know, I'm very concerned that for instance there is a New Yorker article about online dating. And, you know, people lament that it's impossible to find someone, you know, your age who has your interests. So they build these profiles. And the author made a great point that if you actually took the amount of time that required to make a profile and search and then respond to inquiries, and you spent that, you know, volunteering in something you're passionate about, you might actually meet someone organically the old-fashioned way.
And that has interests of yours because that's why they're there.
Yeah.
Yes. Interesting. What about cultural influences and depression? I'm a Roman Catholic Italian, right?
Mm-hmm.
We're born with original sin. Guilt is a very, very important factor in the way people treat each other. Sometimes I think that if something bad happens to you, you're almost expected to react a certain way. And if you don't, you don't want people to think that you're heartless or you're shallow. And so you kind of react that way because you feel culturally some sort of peer pressure. Is there any influence or any indication that certain cultures tend to be more depressed than others?
Well, for instance, the Amish have a notoriously low rate of depression compared to people who live nearby but don't live the Amish lifestyle. Going to church going is actually associated with a lower risk of depression, and they've actually kind of delved into it. Is it the beliefs? Is it the connection? And it was going and having the social interaction,
uh-huh.
And it wasn't actually correlated with their degree of believing
or hopefulness. Right? It's just interacting with other people in a like-minded environment. Everybody is there together.
Mm-hmm. And that's, I think, something that's really sad about the secularization of our society is that we don't, you know, atheists don't have a weekly gathering for all of their like-minded friends.
Well, we should. There you go. There, you know what? That's, I was just thinking, it's like, you know what? I have stepped away from organized religion because I don't believe in a lot of the things that they do, and say, but I agree with you. I think that it was one. I remember when I was a kid and we would get together on Sunday mornings. My dad would take us to church, and then afterwards there would be coffee and cake downstairs in the church basement, and everybody got together and it was fun. You got dressed up for it. You looked forward to it, and so on. So maybe what people need to do is just start non-secular opportunities to.
We can make it like TED Talks. You know, like
yeah.
You get together and you talk about something really important that you care about.
That's a brilliant idea. And we can call it instead of the couch, we can call it the room. And we can charge people entry fees to come in and talk
yeah.
to us.
Well, an important part is going to have to be singing, because that was one of my favorite parts about going to church.
Yeah, absolutely. That is uplifting. You're right about that. This is really great information. So what do you hope that clinicians, first of all, take away from your research?
Well, when someone comes in with complaining of the symptoms of depression, it would be important to understand why they're feeling that way and if they are appropriate or inappropriate given their circumstances and life goals. And secondly, I would want to know about their lifestyle. You know, how much sleep are they getting? How much exercise are they doing? You know, what is their what's their diet? And think about advocating not just for, you know, this is a complex problem that probably is better solved, in my opinion, with changing how someone lives rather than giving them a pill to alleviate their symptoms.
But now think about this, right? I see two challenges here. First of all, you have a psychiatrist or a psychologist that's going to start talking to a person about the fact that their obesity may be causing their depression and that they need to lose weight, which this person has probably thought about and attempted numerous times over the course of years with no success, which means that they're not going to lose get out of their depressed situation. And if anything, they're going to become more depressed because now they know they're depressed because of their obesity. It's somehow linked to it, number one. Number two, you can't even get people to take their prescription medications. Compliance is a big issue. So getting somebody to take a medication versus getting somebody to get up every morning and walk and change the way they eat and do this for a long period of time and see results has to have even lower compliance.
Right. Well, you know, you bring up the point of how difficult it is to get people to make health changes, health behavior changes. And from what I understand, there are two ways to do that. One is to make small incremental changes in daily living and not try to revamp everything with a New Year's resolution or so on. And the second is to change the environment in which people live. And that's, as a public health advocate, that's where my interests lie. I think we need to make the healthy choice, the easy choice, not the expensive, hard-to-find choice.
Well, give me an example.
An example would be, you know, I ride my bike on a very busy road to campus, and I'm one of the very few bikers on that road because it's threatening. And I've talked to other people who have a bike who would want to ride to campus, but there is not a safe way for them to get there. So I'm talking about more bike lanes, more public green space for people to get out and enjoy real sunshine and all that nature has to offer. I'm talking about stop subsidizing the disease-promoting soy and wheat and corn that our farm bill supports and maybe giving crop insurance to vegetable farmers. I mean, these are low-hanging fruit to me.
Yeah, no, you are absolutely right. These are things that we've thought about and talked about on this show for quite some time. The realities of adding bike lanes, there are lots of logistics that push back against that. We're starting to see developers who develop subdivisions using the European model, where they're instead of just building insular, isolated single family homes up and down streets, block after block, with a road in and a road out, they're now building community center areas for retailers to put restaurants and so on. They're building schools within these subdivisions. We have one here called Norton's Commons, and it's styled the way the European or even the old neighborhoods that I grew up in. I grew up in Brooklyn. My father parked his car when he came home from work, and that was it. We walked every place else. We walked to the store, which was around the corner. You walked to your friend's house. You know, it was you were on foot. You could ride a bike. It was threatening. There were no bike lanes back then, but you were able to at least walk places.
Mm-hmm.
So there is we are starting to see very, very small progress in this particular area specifically. But I am not as hopeful that the government is going to stop subsidizing crops that they know are linked to diseases now that the government is a health care payee. There is no advantage to them taking steps to eliminate diseases now that they're in the healthcare business. And I know that sounds cynical, but I am a cynic when it comes to this sort of stuff. And I said the day that this U.S. government gets into the business of healthcare is the day that we will not be able to affect change in our food supply. And eliminate the ones that cause diseases because there's no that's a disadvantage to the government. They don't want people to stop paying health care. They need people to pay health care to fund all the things that health care does. I'm not as hopeful as that on that one there.
The government has been paying for health care for a while. I mean, before even the Affordable Care Act, if you added up all the Medicaid and Medicare and VA dollars, it was more than 50% of all medical expenditures in the United States.
Yes.
And we've been doing it for a while.
Yes. And that plan is broken.
Yeah.
So that's exactly my point. They need more money now. It's a sad situation, but that's okay. I am still hopeful, and I have to tell you, I think there is hope in the area where we have new communities development going on, where we can influence this and say, let's make it an enclave where people can walk to the store, their kids can walk to their friends' homes, they can ride bicycles and so on. I'm with you on this. I think it's great. I've often thought about riding my bicycle to this studio. But I would have
go to, for it.
No, but I would have to take a major thoroughfare, US 42, and I, like you, think to myself, wow, this is dangerous. Unfortunately, I'm 55 years old, and if I get slammed on my bike by a car, the chances are it's gonna hurt me for the rest of my life. And so I think, well, you know, it's just not gonna happen. Maybe if my studio was someplace where I can take back roads, I would do it. But I'm not gonna brave US 42 with the nuts out there. Until they put in a bike lane. If they put in a bike lane, then I'm absolutely on my bike riding to the studio back and forth every day. It's about a 5-mile ride. It'd be wonderful.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm with you on that. I think that if government would start paying attention to at least those things and making it easier, maybe, the way they kick in money to pave roads that adhere to the speed limit, maybe they could also kick in some money to put bike lanes in, because that's the big problem. I've talked to a friend of mine who's a city planner here, and he said, you know, for us to put bike lanes in, you're talking about unbelievable expenditures and labor. Sometimes those easements don't even belong to the government anymore, the local government. They have to go to the homeowners, and they have to acquire, the front 16 feet of their yards for this whole 1-mile strip in order to expand the road. And so road expansion is a big challenge. That's why a lot of cities don't want to expand roads. Now we're saying, hey, you have to expand them, and it's not even for the cars. It's because we want to put bikes on the road now.
Right.
So there are some challenges. Listen, I want to commend you on this research. I think it's fantastic research. It talks about important things that people need to hear over and over again, because the reality is, if you're depressed, you can affect some change in your own life if you look at the key things that we talked about in this interview today. Brandon, I want to thank you so much for being on the show today.
Thanks for having me, Carl.
Take care. All right, so stay tuned. When we come back, I'm going to give you a list of coupon codes that you should know about, and they will be in the newsletter coming up as well. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Keep listening to Superhuman Radio and feel your brain getting stronger by the minute. We'll be right back.
I usually avoid protein bars because they're generally just candy in disguise. But that's all changed now. With Quest protein bars, we can enjoy dessert again without the guilt. With 20 grams of whey isolate protein, tons of prebiotic fiber, no sugar added, and only 2 to 6 grams of active carbohydrates per bar, Quest bars will keep you full and lean. I've never endorsed a protein bar before because I simply didn't trust them. That's all changed with the Quest bar. Not just because of what's in them, but more so for what's not. Go to superhumanradio.com today and click the Quest Protein Bar banner ad. Start enjoying dessert again.
The benefits of a ketogenic diet are immeasurable. Health, resist disease, mental function, and even performance. But getting into ketosis can take weeks, if even at all. Now you can get into ketosis in 10 minutes. Keto Force is the first ketone salt that has been clinically shown to switch you into a ketogenic state by providing a rush of ketones into the bloodstream. Like to train fasted or want to spare more muscle glycogen during workouts? Take a shot of Keto Force and hit it hard. Go to SuperHumanRadio.com and click the Keto Force banner ad today.
Do you avoid protein powder because it upsets your stomach? Want a protein powder with zero fat and lactose free? Look no further. Muscle Gauge Nutrition's Pure Whey Isolate delivers 25 grams of pure whey without any of the fat or lactose. And for a limited time, you can get a 25-pound bag of Pure Whey Isolate for only $187. That's Whey Isolate for $7 a pound. Go to SuperHumanRadio.com and click the Muscle Gauge Nutrition banner ad and use coupon code SUPERHUMAN today.
Just like Carl Lenore, jumpstart your day with a liquid shot of high-dose vitamin C. Everyone is searching for that magic formula to look better and feel better. We don't claim to have a magic formula, but we do know that more than 1 million people take a shot of our high-dose vitamin C supplement every day. They're rewarding their body with an important nutrient and antioxidant that is sugar-free, gluten-free, and dairy-free. All of these benefits and no side effects. Unlike pills and powders, this high-tech bullet delivers vitamin C directly into your cells. Try Livon Labs Vitamin C with a 100% money-back guarantee. Save $10 when you order now. Click the banner ad on superhumanradio.com or call 1-866-790-2107. That's 1-866-790-2107. And mention code SHRC to save $10 off each carton. Carl sees the benefits. So will you.
Power Block dumbbells can replace up to 55 pairs of dumbbells in the space of just one pair. And they come in all sizes to meet the needs of all lifters. As small as 2.5 to 20 pounds per hand, all the way up to 175 pounds per hand, and everything in between. Check out the new Power Block barbells that turn your Power Block dumbbells into barbells in seconds, replacing up to 45 barbells. Or try the new kettlebell handle to convert Power Block dumbbells to kettlebells. Call 800-651-1937 or click the banner ad on superhumanradio.com for a free brochure.
If you're taking more than one nutritional supplement, stop. Simplify your supplementation with Bio Superfood, the most advanced nutritional whole food you can buy. Even Olympic athletes have discovered Bio Superfood from BioAge.com. You take just one nutritional supplement to help the brain with focus, memory, clarity, and mood. Bio Superfood has zero toxicity. It is safe with no contraindications. Learn more at BioAge.com or call 877-288-9116. Mention Superhuman Radio and get a 10% discount. You can also go to SuperhumanRadio.com and click the BioAge banner ad. Enter promo code SHR for a discount.
Move over, superheroes. This is the Superhuman Channel.
Welcome back. All right, first things first. Coupon codes. Age Force. 40% off anything on their website. SHR40. Superior Hardcore Peptides, 30% off all peptides and research chemicals. SHR30, 30% off. Plus, if your order is $75 or more, free shipping. And Percoba Extra Edge Colostrum, certified first 6-hour colostrum. Want to buy an entire kilo for $200? Use the coupon code SHR2. Save $40. Off of the individual prices. Also, we were just talking with Brandon about the harmful effects of omega-6 fatty acids and their linkage to inflammation and so on. Don't forget to check out Seagate's amazing 100% extra virgin olive oil. There's a banner ad on superhumanradio.com. This is the best olive oil you will ever try. I guarantee it. It has over 11 grams of oleic acid per tablespoon. It's emerald green, and it tastes like olive oil is supposed to taste, like olives. So check that out, of course. Also, I want to mention something else. Everywhere you look on Facebook, right now I'm looking at my personal Facebook page. There are three ads on the right-hand side. Low T lawsuit, testosterone drug lawsuit, and harmful testosterone drugs. Oh, wait, there's four. I went down because the next one is diabetic footwear, and then there's testosterone lawsuit. All of these parasitic attorneys who are coming out of the woodwork in these wrongful, what do you want to call this? These drug lawsuits in these class action law firms, right? They're all fishing for people who have had problems with testosterone. I don't think they're getting anybody. I got to be honest with you, because most of the people who use testosterone have nothing but benefits from it. But the funny thing is, some guy on one of them I commented on today said, I knew this stuff was lethal. That's why I never took it. And some old fat dude he was, actually. And so I commented back and said, so testosterone is lethal. That if it was lethal, then everybody, every guy would die at puberty when our testosterone levels spike. You know,
Testosterone is not a pharmaceutical drug. It's a naturally occurring hormone in the body. There are more studies out there that show its benefits, and two studies that show that guys who have already had heart problems may have more heart problems if you put them on testosterone. But no one knows why. Is it the testosterone, or is it because they felt so good they started acting like they were young again and their hearts weren't ready for it? It's just frustrating to me. These friggin' attorneys. All right, so Dan Rollins is listening to the show live. He said, the sun came out, turned 50 degrees. Sadness went away. I bought an Olympic barbell with 300 pounds for $200, became really happy. Problem solved. Here's what it takes. Get sleep, get sun, pick things up, and put them down. I like that, Dan. Very, very good. Okay, so tomorrow is Friday. We have a great Casual Friday show prepared for you. Thank you for listening today. And as always, thank you for supporting the show. And we'll see you tomorrow.
Spit that out right now. This is the Superhuman Channel.